At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. We're joined now by Devin Jackson from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Devin, how you doing this Tuesday morning, man? Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to join you guys, talk some NFL draft. Just coming off the combine and getting ready for free agency. So always a great time of the year to talk some NFL draft and get prepared for what's coming next month.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Devin. I'm excited to have you on because I got to tell you, man, Howie says we're not behind with the Eagles out there. Now he's got like a 30, 45 person staff. I'm behind because of the long season when it comes to the NFL draft, but I've been following your work from Indianapolis. Did a tremendous job. People can follow Devin at RealD_Jackson on the X platform. Started with the Eagles. I think the depth of this draft looks like it's defensive front players, certainly as one of the top positions. And this is a year where you might lose Milton Williams, you might lose Josh Sweat. And the foundational philosophy of this team has been building up front on both sides of the football. But that means they have to refortify up front. And they're starting at 32nd. So is it realistic to be able to get a starting level player in this draft on the defensive front at number 32 overall, or even trading down a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first 2 days of the draft, you're going to get a lot of defensive tackle talent. And I think it's an incredibly deep class. I was talking to, a few scouts now at the combine, and there's like 11 or 12 starter grades on interior defensive linemen. You know, that's how good this class is. The edge class is just as good as well. So, picking at 32, obviously you don't typically get, some top end talent, but I think in this class, you're going to get guys that can come in and play a role really well and really early in their career. So I think at 32, and even if you move down a few spots, even into the 40s, you're going to still get some really, really good defensive linemen that can come in and be a big time contributor.
How do you go ahead, Johnny?
If you're talking pass rusher, give me a couple names that might be in that range of 32 to say 40 that might be of interest to the Eagles.
Yeah, I look at Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. He's kind of a guy that I feel like people are kind of all over the board with. He's a guy that is probably a top 15, top 20 talent in the NFL draft, but he's more of a three technique. He's more of a guy that's not a true run stopper. So he's more of a pass rush specialist. So I think he's a guy that, some teams are going to value differently because he's not, a complete player coming out of Ole Miss. So he's a guy that sticks out to me. Omar Norman Lott, the defensive lineman from Tennessee, I think a similar type of player that is really, really excels as a pass rusher. Still needs to improve as a run defender, but I think he's a guy that, he played a limited amount of snaps at Tennessee. They had a big rotation at Tennessee. So he averaged about 18 to 19 snaps a game. So, I think, obviously he's a little bit of a projection to the NFL low, but I think he's a guy that, if you get him an opportunity to play and get a full load of snaps, that production can continue to increase. And then I'll go TJ Sanders, a South Carolina defensive lineman, who the Eagles had a formal interview with at the combine. He's a guy that had a really, really good Senior Bowl, showed that ability to not only rush the passer, but has the ability to knife through defenses and, be able to be a run stopper as well. So Sanders played along a very talented defensive lineman that defensive line, I should say, that I think is going to have multiple people drafted off that defensive line. And Sanders was a guy that didn't start every game, but he made his impact felt. And I thought down the stretch of the season, he played extremely well, and he's had a really good process so far.
Real quick, you mentioned Tennessee a little bit there, because James Pierce is one of the guys I was most interested, because I was texting some scouts and, you know, some athletic testing, I think, that surprised a little bit of people. You're talking about a guy who at one point was probably considered to be a potential top 10 pick. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. Did you get a feel for where he was while you were in Indy? Because I was surprised by the lack of explosive numbers when it came to him.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a little bit of concern, and like, he is just a very linear athlete. He's not a guy that's a big change of direction guy. And I think you saw that with testing, and, you know, he has an excellent first step, excellent, you know, snap timing awareness, ability to really threaten and get offensive tackles on their heels. But I still think, you know, at 21 years old, he's still developing as a player. I still think there's a lot more to be desired as a run defender. So I think, you know, coming into combine, people were looking to see how he would test, how he would handle, you know, doing some of the on-field drills. And, you know, it was kind of an up and down day for him. So I think, you know, he's a guy again, he's another guy to me that the stock is a little bit all over the map with him. You know, some teams still having that top 15 to 20 range, and some teams have day two grades on him. So I think he's another guy that the Eagles at 32 might be looking at to potentially pick, just depending on how everything shakes out and, you know, whether or not teams decide to pick him early or not.
Devin, a lot of changes happening in the NFL right now. Obviously, we're getting closer to free agency. The Eagles made a move yesterday in releasing Darius Slay. So strategies will change this time of year. It's hard to project what a team will do at this point. But I do want to ask you about overall draft strategy for the Eagles, especially in those early rounds. Do you expect Howie to prioritize the trenches? I think that makes sense. But, you know, you see a guy like Darius Slay released yesterday. You hear names like Malachi Starks, Nick Emmanuel, a couple of these other guys in the secondary. You know, do you think you could see a shift in approach from Howie, or do you expect him to go trenches? Just your thoughts on the Eagles' overall draft strategy in those early rounds.
I think at least for now, I still see them going trenches. You know, I think, you know, if a player like Malachi Starks is there at 32, you know, I do think that it's worth considering and taking a closer look at and bringing them in potentially if the value is right. But I always think with Howie Roseman, he's a guy that always sees value in trenches, always sees value in continuing to build up the defensive line. And, you know, if you're losing potentially Josh Sweat and Milton Williams, I understand losing Darius Slay is very important. But you know, knowing the Eagles, they feel like their development of their defensive players especially is at a good place. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they – you know, allow like a Kelee Ringo to get an opportunity to win a starting job at corner. But I feel like, you know, at defensive line and edge rusher, you never can have too many of them. And they want to continue to kind of rebuild that depth, especially with, you know, Josh Sweat potentially leaving. Brandon Graham might be done in his NFL career. Milton Williams, you know, and then obviously Jordan Davis, his fifth year option still needs to be decided on at the end of this upcoming season. So I think there's a lot more question marks especially in that defensive line room that I think they want to be able to address in the NFL draft.
Yeah, Devin, one position with the Eagles I think is a little bit underreported, and I'm pretty confident they're going to go get a tight end at some point for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, if you think about 2018, coming off Super Bowl 52, that was the year they drafted Dallas Goedert. They had the 32nd pick. They traded down. They traded back up to get Goedert. Now, you don't have a Lamar Jackson that somebody might want to reach up for it with that fifth-year option with the 32nd pick. So that doesn't fit. But Zach Ertz was like 2 years younger then to what Dallas Goedert is now. And I think the Eagles are very cognizant that they have to start thinking about life after Dallas Goedert. and it's a really deep tight end draft. Mason Taylor is a player I like. I don't know if he'll last early into the second round. They you know, talk about the NFL. It's always a genetics league. He's the son of Jason Taylor. But there's a lot of good tight ends. Same question. If you're in that 32 to 45 range, who are the ones you would like the most for the Eagles?
Yeah, I think Mason Taylor is at the top of the list because you think about the tight end class. You know, Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren will be already gone by the time you get to pick 32. But Mason Taylor is at the top of the list. You know, the Eagles have shown interest in him, you know, going back to the Senior Bowl. They showed interest in him at the Combine. And I think he's a guy that has excellent ability to create run after the catch, be able to threaten seams, and just has natural hands and natural route running ability. So I think he makes a lot of sense. I'll go to Gunnar Helm, the Texas tight end, who I know didn't test great at the Combine because of a sprained ankle, but I think he's a player that's a really smooth player. You know, he compares his game to Dallas Goedert. You know, he says he has a similar body type to Grant Calcaterra. And I think he's a really smooth route runner, a reliable player, and can get open over the middle of the field and down the seam. So I really like him and what he brings to the table. You look at Elijah Arroyo, the Miami tight end as well, who is a big-time vertical threat, you know, ability to probably one of the faster tight ends in NFL draft class. And he had an awesome Senior Bowl. We didn't test at the Combine, but I think he's a player that, you know, can really you know, create separation at the line of scrimmage and down the field, and just has that that deep speed that you want working down the seam. So those would be three guys, I think, in that early second round range that make a lot of sense. But, you know, if you're going to wait a little bit longer, you know, I look at Oregon tight end Terrence Ferguson as well as a guy that potentially in round three that can make some sense for the Eagles too.
Which what do you think, real quick, just follow up on the tight end, because I like this player, the Nebraska kid. Where do you think he might go? Thomas Bedone. I know he was great. I remember him as a high school prospect. He was a big time high school prospect and then didn't have the production. But, you know, when you talk about production, I don't know. There's something I like about that kid. Where do you think he's going to land? Is he a legitimate day two guy, or is he going to be a day three guy?
I think his medicals might push him to day three. He had a couple of knee injuries early in his career, and he was a number one tight end coming out of the class of 2021 over Brock Bowers. So he's a guy that's extremely talented, you know, still feels like he has his best football ahead of him. So I think he's a guy that's a day three guy that, you know, comes in and you know, surpasses expectations, because you can see the talent, you can see the ability to run downfield. He has some smooth ability as a route runner, and he's a guy that I think, you know, is still you know, trying to develop and still getting that experience of playing. You know, I think he's played like a little over 20 games in his career, just because the injuries piled up on him early in his career, but he's a guy that, you know, everyone speaks highly of in that Nebraska, you know, program, and a guy that you could see the traits and could see the ability. He just played in the offense that didn't really prioritize, you know, tight ends and getting them involved in the offense. But still, you could see the flashes of his traits. And if you want a guy that you can kind of develop and really, you know, hone in as, you know, potential future tight end one, I like Thomas Fedone a lot. That he will make a lot of sense in the fourth or fifth round.
Devin, the Eagles are normally always aggressive with trades at the draft. Do you think they could be looking to move up, down, package picks maybe for a Myles Garrett? Do you see the Eagles being players in the trade market on draft day?
Yeah, I don't think there will be a dramatic trade up unless there's a guy that's a top 10 prospect falling into the late 20s, early 30s. So I think it's more likely that they trade back and get more picks on day two and early day three. I know they only they have a couple fifth round picks, but after the fifth round, they don't have any more selection. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, package some picks early in the draft to get some more later, because I feel like the depth of the class from about 45 to 75, picks 45 to 75 is about the same value-wise. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get a few more picks out of that range. I think that's the best part of the draft on day two. You get a lot of guys that are stacked similarly on teams' boards, and you still have quite a bit of starter-level players left as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to trade back and get some more day two picks.
When we're talking about Howie Roseman, Devin, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the offensive line at some point. I mean, they have the best offensive line in the NFL, but that doesn't mean they won't add somebody, because that's how much they value that group. And I think it's proven to be the right way to build over the past decade or so for the Philadelphia Eagles. Did see that Anthony Belton mentioned he's got a top 30 visit with the Eagles coming up. You know, Joshua Gray, I believe there was some interest from the Eagles. Charles Grant, anybody stick out as potential? Jeff Stoutland, like, I know the kid from North Dakota State, his versatility. A lot of people have said, boy, Stoutland would like to get his hands on him. Anybody stand out as a Jeff Stoutland type offensive lineman to you?
Yeah, you know, I look at Anthony Belton, first of all, just because he's a guy that, you know, has played primarily tackle at the NFL level. But he's a guy that you know, I kind of look at kind of similar to Mekhi Becton, where, you know, he's a big, strong, powerful guy that, you know, I think he has some a little bit of more foot quickness than Becton coming out of Louisville. But I think with Belton, he's a guy that I think could, you know, be a solid tackle, but a really, really good guard, because he plays with kind of that nasty intentions as a run defender, and can move players at the line of scrimmage. And so I look at Belton, and I think he's a guy that will make a lot of sense just based on the formula that Jeff Stoutland has worked with this past year. And if Becton does decide to leave, it might make sense to go with Belton in the second or third round to kind of compete for that right guard spot. Obviously, they still have Tyler Steen that they like very much so, but also with Belton, he's a guy that can kick out and play tackle. So I look at him, and then Jonah Savanea, the Arizona right tackle, I think is another guy that makes a lot of sense to kind of play that similar role. He's played both guard and tackle in his career, played right tackle this past year with Arizona. And similarly, I think he's a guy that's a much better run blocker right now, the pass protector. But I do think with Savanea, he's a guy that I could see being kind of an heir to Lane Johnson, and still being a really good player and a guy that could play guard in term and maybe kick out a tackle later in his career. So those are two guys that I think make a lot of sense in kind of that guard tackle mold. We know the Eagles obviously like drafting versatile offensive linemen. I think both of those guys would make a lot of sense.
Devin, I think you're right on the trenches in this draft. But if you go to the later round picks here for the Eagles, I think that maybe could be where they go. Skill position guy, maybe a running back, maybe a wide receiver. Are there any guys, skill position players in those late rounds that you think would be a good fit for the Eagles that they could get good value with?
Yeah, I like Kyle Manungai from Rutgers, the running back. I think, you know, he's a guy that's kind of a complete player. You know, he's a big time pass protector on passing downs. He's a guy that, you know, isn't a burner, quote unquote, as a running back, but has really good vision, has really good feel for the game to find cutback lanes and be more of a guy that's a more of a powerful finisher that runs through contact. You know, and I know Kenneth Gainwell is still around for this year, but and they drafted Will Shipley, but I feel like they're kind of missing that you know, backup kind of power guy, you know, a little bit of a bigger back. So I like Kyle Manungai a lot and what he brings to the table and what he could do at the NFL level. Then receiver wise, you know, I like Isaiah Nayer, the receiver from Nebraska, that, you know, was a guy that tested extremely well at the combine, that has that vertical threat ability that can make plays down the field. And I think he can play both in the slot and outside receiver. So I really like what he brings to the table as a receiver. And I can see him being a day three pick and bringing him in and potentially compete for some slot receiver snaps.
Hey, Devin, who do you think helped themselves the most?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Houston Indy. A lot of people talked about Stewart, Shamar Stewart. Xander mentioned Emmett Worry a little bit earlier. Did they really help themselves as much as because athletically, those are the two guys that kind of tested off the charts? Did you get that kind of vibe that teams were buying into them a little bit more to push them up the board?
I think Emmett Worry probably a little bit more than Stewart. I think people figured that Stewart would test really, really well, you know, and I don't think it was a huge surprise in some of the numbers that he put up, at least talking to some people in the league. I will go to offensive lineman. I think Armon Membu, the Missouri tackle, really helped himself. I think, you know, he's a guy that everyone kind of felt like, all right, he can go in the top 20, top 25, but now teams are talking about maybe he's the first tackle off the board when push comes to show. So, you know, I think he showed that athletic ability, and then he went out there and really, really made a name for himself. So I would look at him as a guy that I think had a big time, you know, performance at the NFL Combine. And then I'll go to J.J. Pegasus from Ole Miss, another defensive lineman. He's a guy that stayed after the defensive line drills and did some fullback work. He played a lot of Wildcat quarterback at Ole Miss in short yardage situations. So I think he's a guy that maybe you're looking at, and maybe those short yardage package situations, he can play both sides of the ball.
People love that stuff. We already got that question here. They want guys to play defensive tackle, fullback. I don't know if it translates as much as people talk about it, but it is always interesting when you have a player with that kind of versatility. This draft class as a whole, I think, you know, talking to Daniel Jeremiah, he mentioned, you know, it's not the sexiest draft. It generally has to do with the quarterbacks. From your perspective, is there, other than Cam Ward, is there a quarterback with a first round grade in Devin Jackson's mind? Because I've heard some crazy.
Yeah.
And I think if Sanders, there's still a good chance that Sanders goes top 10, but if he doesn't, and that last team doesn't pick a quarterback, I think you might see the Aaron Rodgers like fall, and he might fall a little bit more than people expect.
Yeah, to me, it's Ward and Sanders in that first round conversation, and that's really it. You know, I don't really see any of the quarterback prospects really doing anything in this process to rise into that conversation. You know, I know there's been a lot of conversation around Jackson Dart, the Ole Miss quarterback, and whether or not he'll go first round. But I think when you look at it and just look at the, you know, with the body of work and what they were able to do in college, you know, I just think it's Sanders, Ward, and everyone else. I will say that teams still like Jalen Milroe, the quarterback from Alabama. You know, I don't think he's going to go first round, but I wouldn't be surprised if early in the second round the team took a shot on what he can do. Because the skill set is there, the arm talent is there, you know, the rushing ability is there.
The hand size? How did he grow his hands that much?
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, I don't know anything about these measurements and why they differ so much from the senior bowl. But yeah, I think Milroe is a guy that the league is still, I won't say like super high on, but still willing to bet on his athletic profile. Yeah,
from the Eagles' perspective, Devin, do you think there's any, whether it's Dart, whether it's Milroe, whether it's the kid from Louisville, anybody who might you get inklings, they might buy up. They might want that fifth year option, because if you have the quarterback, and again, I go back to 2018 where people say, I want to go up to get that fifth year option because it's a quarterback. But that player doesn't seem to exist this year. Do you think somebody could fall in love with somebody to feel that way, whether it's any of those names you mentioned?
I think Milroe would probably fit that bill the most, because you want to get that extra time to try and develop him and maybe get, maybe in year two, year three, you have something with him. But, you know, I look at Tyler Shuck. He's kind of an older quarterback already. Yeah. I think Jackson Dart, I think he's a guy that's closer to, you know, kind of his athletic ceiling. So I think Milroe is really the only guy. If a team really, really liked him and wanted to get an extra year out of him, I think Milroe would make a lot of sense in this particular situation.
Devin, what position groups are the deepest in this draft? Which ones are the weakest? Like, you know, I always am interested in how the draft all plays out. But what groups are the deepest in the draft? And then what are the weakest position groups in this draft as you see it?
Yeah, so I think defensive line, edge rusher, and running backs are the three deepest position. I think the running back class is extremely talented. And I think I like it a little bit better than the tight end class, even though the tight end class has a lot of really good names and really good players. I think with the running backs, you got 8-9 potential starters at the NFL level. And that's just on day one and day two. You can still find some really good gems on day three as well. So those are the three top classes for me. Then, of course, the three classes that you know, I'd be a little bit worried about, you know, I think is linebacker. I think it's quarterback. And then I think probably – I would go the tackle class is not as deep, because I think – With the offensive tackle class specifically, there are a lot of guys that play tackle at the NFL level, but probably won't play tackle in the NFL. So I think that class in particular, I think that's going to help boost the interior offensive line class, that a lot of players are potential guards or potential centers at the NFL level. So I would say those are the three top classes, you know, and then the three weakest, in my opinion.
Real quick, one more, just follow up real quick. So do you view it, Devin, as like a top-heavy draft, or you think there's good depth all throughout, you know, the later rounds?
I think it's a class that probably has 14, 15 first-round guys, and then there's just a lot of depth after that. So I would say it's probably more of a depth-heavy class. Like, you know, after you get out of that, those first 20, 25 picks, I think any player after that until like late in the third round, you're getting guys that the teams are going to have kind of all over the board. And there might be a little bit surprises on who goes late in that first round or who goes early in the second round and which guys are available and pick 60, 70, and 80.
At @RealD_Jackson, make sure you follow Devin on the X platform. Read him at inquire.com. Does a tremendous job for the Inky covering the NFL draft. We're going to tap into you more than this. I hope you're willing, Devin. Always enjoy catching up with you. And I'll end it. Who's your number one? Who should go number one? Should it be Abdul Carter? Should it be Cam Ward? Who should go number one overall?
Yeah, I think it should be Abdul Carter. You know, I think he's a player that has been good his entire college career, but first year edge rusher, he was so dominant. You know, teams had to throw double teams his way. I mean, he played with one arm against Notre Dame and still was causing havoc. So I think he's a guy that's incredibly explosive, a guy that's really hard to defend. I think, you know, whether you kind of move him around the line of scrimmage or have him as a true edge rusher, I think he can have a Michael Parsons level impact at the NFL level. And I think he's a guy that makes your team better. You know, even if you're a quarterback needy team, you know, like the Titans, you know, like maybe the Giants, the Browns, like he's a guy that can come in and, you know, be an immediate contributor. And I think he has all pro level talent. So I would say Abdul Carter should go top overall, in my opinion. But, you know, the NFL, you know, quarterback is always in demand.
So pushed up,
yeah, they do. All right, Devin, last one for me. Who's the realistic best case scenario pick for the Eagles at their projected spot in round one, which is 32 right now?
I think right now it was Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, just because he kind of can kind of give you that production and that ability that Milton Williams gave you this past year as a pass rusher specifically. And I think the Eagles defensive line is at a place right now where they are okay going into next year and defending the run. And obviously they'll need some more bodies and maybe a sign of veteran presence as well. But I think when you look at Walter Nolan and his strengths and his ability to rush the passer and kind of the infrastructure that the Eagles have along a defensive line, and they can bring him in, can help him develop and continue to become a really good player. You know, I think Clint Hurt is making a case for one of the better defensive line coaches in the NFL at this point, after what he's done the last few years with the Eagles. So I really like Walter Nolan as a fit for the Eagles. I think he makes a lot of sense to kind of replace the defensive line talent. And I just think, you know, he's a perfect fit for what the Eagles are looking for, specifically on passing downs, as a guy that can help push the pocket alongside Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith and everyone else on that defensive line.
Good stuff, Devin Jackson. Devin, we appreciate you joining in today, brother. Great stuff as always, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Great job at the Inquirer, man. We're reading all your work. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Devin. There's Devin Jackson joining us here on Birds 365. Great stuff there, Johnny Mac. John, we're officially in that draft part of the offseason now where we dive deep.
Catching up.
That was our first real good conversation on getting deep in the NFL draft here on Birds 365.
And I think, Devin kind of explained why Howie has the approach he's having, or it seems like he's going to have, and he's willing to lose – you know, maybe Josh Sweat and Milt Williams, because this is a better year to replace players like that in the draft. Even at 32, if they stay there, they should be able to get, you know, if they get a player like Walter Nolan, like Devin said, I mean, you can slot him in and be the replacement right away for Milt Williams. And, you know, you're off and running. He's going to be made better than Jalen Carter. He's going to have more Ojomo pushing him.
Yeah.
And you're getting him on a cost-effective rookie deal versus probably overpaying a really good player, but maybe isn't a $20 million a year player. So you can sort of see the strategy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was a little surprised he had Nolan there just because I feel like Nolan's going to go higher, but I love that pick, man. I really like Walter Nolan.
Yeah, I mean, that's one guy who, you know, one of the things I laugh at every year when it comes to draft is like, we go through all that. This guy's a first-round pick. This guy's a first-round pick. Well, always guys Paul, because there's only 32 first-round picks. And, you know, last year was a very offensive-tinted draft. The first defensive player didn't come off till it was a crazy number. The kid from Indianapolis, I forget, maybe 16, 17.
Yeah, it was late. I remember that. Yeah. Which kind of played in the Eagles' favor.
When they got Quinyon Mitchell at 22, a lot of people projected him to go much higher. A lot of people predicted Talis Turner to go much higher than he went. So you never know. And there's going to be, you know, I saw Lance Zierlin, however you pronounce his name, from NFL Media. It's always funny because he put out his mock draft, and he had, because I've heard the same things. I've heard it, and I asked Devin, if Shedeur Sanders doesn't go 6 or 7 to wherever Las Vegas, he might fall a long way. I've been hearing those things. I've been hearing those things for a couple of weeks now, and Lance kind of put it in his mock draft, and people are killing him. And he's like, "All right, you know, you're killing me last year when I said Jaden Daniels should be number one." That kind of stuff. The narratives get in people's heads, and they just can't get off them.
That's so true. And it's such a time where so much possibility exists, so definitely should be more receptive or open to the possibilities there. But interesting stuff. I thought Devin broke it down great. You can tell he's got a good gauge on the draft already here on March 4th. So, and we're gonna have another draft guy, and we'll have Ian Cummings on Thursday as well. So a good week to now as we prep for the NFL draft here on Birds 365. Johnny Mack, your final thoughts on the day, man? They released Slay yesterday. We talked really a lot of defense today on the show, a little bit of tight end in there. Your final thoughts on this Tuesday edition of Birds 365?
Yeah, good to get in the draft. We'll get, it'll all start coming to fruition. But as you mentioned, free agency. And that's why these mock drafts, not that they're always not an exercise in futility, because they always are, but they're really an exercise in futility before that first wave of free agency, because you're going to be able to see the strategies of many teams. Once you see their first wave of free agency, like there's a lot of teams you might say need defensive tackle, and they sign a big money defensive tackle. Right. They sign Milton Williams, and then they go, well, then, hey, they're not taking a defensive tackle in the first round anymore. So that first, it all interconnects. And that first wave of free agency will have a large impact on the draft and how teams approach it.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. It's going to be a great offseason. John, last question for you, and I'll make you make a prediction. Will we have another Football 24/7 at some point today? Will another move come down in Eagle Land that we will respond to, John?
I don't think so. It's a little bit early still. But you never know. You never know.
Never know how it goes in Eagle Land. We'll see how it all plays out. Johnny Mack, great show today, brother. As always, we're cruising right along here in the offseason. It's already March. I woke up on Saturday. I think Saturday was March 1st or Sunday or whatever it was. And I'm like, God dang, it's already March. Man, that month and a half extra, John, of the football season really tips the scales a little bit.
Oh, you? Yeah. I've never been farther behind when it comes to the NFL draft, personally. And I don't know why it wasn't as bad in Super Bowl 52 or Super Bowl 57, but.
Well, didn't we picked in like the top 10 that year, didn't we?
Well, it's not about that. It's about just learning the players. For some reason, this season just seemed to go on forever and ever and ever.
It did. I felt it too. And then, I don't know. I do think being 32 does change it a little bit, just because, I mean, you're talking about two picks in the top 64 and you're at the end of each round. It definitely limits your pool a little bit. The Eagles have had a lot of picks in recent
years. Oh, yeah. But I'm talking more of a general sense.
Yeah, just a general sense.
Yeah, getting in for, Plus, I don't think it is, and as DJ said, it's not the sexiest draft in the world. I don't think there's a lot of splash players in this draft. I really don't. And, Devin had 14 or 15. I've heard a little bit less than that, talking to scouts around the league, probably 12 real first round grades. That's not good. That's not good.
Yeah. And Devin had what, 14, he said?
14 or 15.
Yeah. So, no, limited there. Johnny Mack, great show today, brother. We will catch you tomorrow on Birds 365. Thanks for doing it today.
Breaking news.
Oh, here we go.
We're just talking about it. So we can do a football 24/7. The Eagles have informed cornerback James Bradley. He will be released when the new league year starts. His agent can speak to other teams in advance. So they're doing James a little bit of a solid.
Nice.
I thought they'd wait, but they waited so long. I guess they don't want to jerk him around any longer. But James Bradberry. So for that person that asked, there's your answer. He's gone.
There you go. Bradberry. I will say this. And I only speak for myself, but I like James Bradberry. I don't
know. It's great, dude.
James Bradberry at all. I know a lot of fans like just associate the penalty in Super Bowl 57 with them. And I'm a big fan of Jim. I like the way he conducts himself. I like the way
he's a pro.
I like the way he answers questions. I just feel as though he's a genuine good dude, and he was a good player here in Philly that a lot of people forget.
Hey, so. When I said after that Super Bowl, James stood up and took responsibility.
Yeah, he's a consummate professional for sure.
Is a tremendous, Eagles take a bit of a hit though, salary cap wise. Whereas if they would have waited till June 1st, but the strategy, you can only use that designation twice in advance, so you can only use it twice, period. So obviously they have another move in mind they want to keep
right
that involved with. So they're going to lose a little bit of cap space for that. But, you know, Howie kicked that can down the road as far as humanly possible.
Yeah, good stuff there. All right, Johnny Mac, there you go. There's our little breaking news. I would imagine that's all we're going to get for the day. But we got a couple extra minutes out of it on Birds 365. Well done today, John, and we'll catch you tomorrow on Birds 365.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it, Johnny Mac. There's John McMullen joining in on Birds 365.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.